They don't care about the study itself. Probably they are decorating their house. You know, one of the things that unfortunately happens, and I have seen a lot of families, they are decorating a bookcase in the living room where there are a lot of books in different colors. The colors matter. Wow, rather than the content of the book.
Wow, yeah.
When you ask them some questions with regard to what they have, you see it is unfortunately very much empty from inside. Having money and wealth matters. It is the necessity of life. I cannot live without fulfilling my basic needs, and perhaps I have to pay for my life, and that is through income. But we were not born to earn money. And exactly. Unfortunately, sometimes the end of the life, let's say, was reversed. I was reversing the end with the means. Money is the means to reach an end. Mm-hmm. I want to feel happy. I want to provide myself as well as my family with comfort through my income. However, we see that some people are spending their lifetime earning money.
Right.
Precisely. To do what? Yeah. To materialize what? Just to earn money. We have a hadith from Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, that says, "Hubbud dunya ra'sa kulli khatiyah." The money is the root of all evil. I will rephrase it. The love of the world is the root of all evil. We have a similar proverb in English that says, money is the root of all evil. But it doesn't mean that we don't need to earn money. The point is, we are not spending our time to reach or to earn money for the money's sake, for the money terms. So we are earning money to materialize some bigger causes of the life, and that is to reach spiritual uplifting.
And also, just like adding on to that, working and earning money till a person dies is not necessarily bad, because a person stopped working during the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, I've heard that you've stopped working. Is that correct? He's like, yeah. He's like, why? He's like, because I've got enough money till I die. Imam said, no, don't stop working unless your intellect is going to decrease. Mm-hmm. So if you stop working, work. So you're active, so you work, not because you want to earn, you know?
Yeah. So
working, earning at the end till dying is not bad, but earning till you die for the sake of earning is, of course.
Absolutely.
So we are toed around in paper issues that we lost a track of time. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. And
which is money.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Time is gold. And thank you for being here with me. And thank you to your listeners for listening to us.
Thank you for having us.
I bid you farewell. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the ummah rise again let us see daylight again once again
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key
on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners a hearty congratulations, because as you know, today is the day which marks the famous event of Ghadir. Just by way of passing, as you know, on the day of Ghadir, the Prophet was returning from his farewell pilgrimage to Mecca. He stopped in a valley called Ghadir, and he gave a famous sermon there called the Sermon of Ghadir. In this sermon, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said something very famous, which was that, "O people, whoever I am the Mawla of, this Ali is also the Mawla of that person." And according to the followers of the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim, this word is a reference to the fact that the Imam is the master, the person who has authority over the people. This is a reference to that. But according to some of the adherents of other schools of thought, this word, it doesn't mean this, and it has, therefore, it has nothing to do with the political successorship of the Prophet. Rather, this word is simply a word that means friend. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever I am the friend of, this Ali should also be the friend of that person. Whoever has befriended me, he should also befriend Imam Ali alayhi salam. So it has nothing to do with political successorship and leadership of the Islamic Ummah. Rather, it's simply a reference to the fact that Imam Ali should be taken as a friend. He should be loved by the people. This is something that a lot of people say. So we want to ask today, what is exactly the meaning of this word Mawla? And whether the interpretation that these other adherents of these other schools have thought, have presented, is true or no, it's not. You know, a lot of has been said regarding, this topic. We don't want to go into detail regarding it. There's a couple of books which are very interesting in this regards. For example, there's the famous book of Ghadir by Allama Amini. He investigates this this topic there. He answers this question there. But just by way of passing, we can allude to a very simple a way in which we can answer this misgiving, and that is by saying this, that first of all, the context, we have to look at the context in which this this hadith was uttered by the Holy Prophet. If we pay attention to these clues, we will understand that this word should not be simply taken as a reference to friendship or friend. First of all, this hadith was mentioned by the Prophet. The Prophet gave this sermon in Ghadir after a significant verse was revealed, and that verse was a verse in the Holy Quran in which God says, "Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O Prophet, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik," reveal or convey what has been revealed to you from your Lord. "Wa in lam taf'al," and if you do not do this, "ma فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ," if you do not do this, it is as if you have not conveyed the risalat, your message at all. Now, if we consider the event of Ghadir and what the Prophet mentioned there, in the light of this verse, we can understand that this word, Mawla, cannot be taken to be a reference to the word friend. How could this be so? How could it, if the Prophet didn't told the people not to befriend Ali, Imam Ali alayhi salam, would it be as if the Prophet had not conveyed his risalat, his message at all? Clearly, this is not the case. And we also see that why would the Prophet give so much importance to this matter, to the extent that he asked the people who had gone forth to come back and the people who were lagging behind him to come forward? so that all of the people could hear this message. And also he asked them to convey this to others who were not present. So all of these are clues to then to indicate the fact that this word cannot be construed to be a reference to the word friend. Rather, it should be taken in a more significant manner and to be a reference to the political successorship of the Holy Prophet and the leadership of the Islamic Ummah. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the meaning of the word Mawla in the Hadith of Ghadir. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Carpets woven with love. Part 3.
If the Pazaric rug showed that the history of carpet weaving in Iran goes back 2,400 years ago, these findings showed carpet weaving in the Iranian plateau goes back to more than 3,000 years ago. But it was not just the discovery of the Sumba Valley in Turkmenistan that changed our knowledge of the history of carpet with the discovery of weaving tools. At the same time, in Iran, a fatal accident resulted in a great change. In 1354, rain and flood in Fars province caused an ancient grave to come out from under the ancient mud. The person who discovered this ancient grave was a Kashkai man, and the location of this grave was in the northwest of Rajed, near Kamfaruz. The important point was the object that was found in this grave. Iranian linguist Ali Hassouri later obtained its specifications by examining that object, something like a bayonet, but very delicate, which could not be used for striking and was probably only used for cutting. Another tool was a kind of needle called jafalduz with a round head and 45 centimeters long. These graves belonged to women, just like the ones discovered in Turkmenistan. Another strong indication of the presence of carpet weaving in the Iranian plateau. From Pazaric in the valleys of Serbia to the Sumba Valley in Turkmenistan to Kamfaruz of Fars province in the south of Iran, traces of Iranian carpet can be found. But the ancient signs left of carpet are not limited to these. Some ancient signs are kept in the National Museum of Iran, like these carpet knotting hooks, which date back to 1300 to 800 BC. These ancient Lauriston knotting knives from the first millennium BC. All these evidences point to the antiquity of the art of carpet weaving in Iran, an art that fortunately was not forgotten in the course of historical developments. In the Parthian era, despite the long rule of this dynasty, there are no significant documents regarding the situation of carpet weaving. However, the traces of this era can be found here. The ruins of the ancient city of Khumis near Damghan. Between the years 1339 and 1349 AH, the city was subjected to extensive excavations by foreign archaeologists, which led to the discovery of this fluffy piece. This is a piece of fluffy carpet whose tufts are curly and not made of undyed wool. Although some consider this work to belong to the Parthenon era, there is also the possibility that it belongs to the Sassanid era. Today, this piece of carpet is kept in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. However, not all Sassanid carpets have been kept in the world's major museums. This picture is one of the most important documents left behind from a large Sassanid carpet. A carpet whose size and dimensions were clear, and if it was available to the public, it could increase our knowledge of the history of Iranian carpets. But this carpet was sold to a private collector for only $950,000 in an auction in London in October 2010, and now it is no longer available to us. 3 years before this sale in 2007, a semi-carbon test on the carpet showed that probably 95% this carpet was woven between 380 and 600 AD, i.e., in the second half of the Sassanid era. And with a probability of 68%, the more accurate date should be 420 to 540 AD. Except for this carpet, which was lost in the contemporary era, another famous carpet also vanished into thin air at the end of the Sassanid era. From Takkasra, or Khasrov Palace, the throne of the Sassanid kings, only this facade remains, which today is located in Iraq, near the city of Baghdad. This facade, which the Arabs called Divan-e-Madain, is one of the architectural masterpieces remained from the Sassanid era. According to Muslims' historical accounts, this famous carpet of Baheristan was spread in this same facade and this same palace, and after the Arab invasion, it was torn into pieces as a booty. Tabari writes in its history that the size of this carpet was 60 arsh in 60 arsh. Today's researchers say that this size is about 27 meters by 27 meters in today's measurement. Therefore, the Baharistan carpet has been an extremely large rug, that maybe until that time there were no such large carpets. This carpet was decorated with pieces of jewelry made of emerald and aquamarine. Some believe that the presence of jewels indicate that this carpet was not a knotted rug, but rather a kilim. However, a British researcher named Frederick Martin proved that a knotted carpet can also be studded with jewels. What he took as an example was this carpet. A studded carpet woven with gold in Topkapi Palace Museum of Turkey, which was woven by Ottoman artisans for more than 170 years, and the king sat on it in important ceremonies. Today, there is no trace of the great Baharistan carpet except in history books. Baharistan carpet, which is also known as Bahari Kasri, and winter carpet, was lost in the course of the Arab invasion of Iran. But the fame of the Sassanid carpet was reached in the farthest known lands of the time. In a Chinese almanac that recorded the events between 590 and 617 AD, woolen carpets made in Iran were mentioned as taftan, which is probably a reference to the Persian verb taftan, meaning tufting. According to the information of this Chinese almanac, this carpet came to China as a trade item from the Sassanian land. The Chinese knew two types of Sassanid carpets, woven carpet and knotted carpet. The woven type probably referred to kilim. However, the knotted type referred to the art of carpet weaving. After the Arab conquest of Iran, the art of Iranian carpet weaving did not stop. Rather, it was combined with Islamic art on the path to progress. This monument, Al-Uqadir Fortress, or Abbasid Palace, or Al-Akhudir, in the southwest of the holy city of Karbala, was one of the oldest residences of the Abbasid caliphs during their rule. The Abbasid caliphs used Iranian hand-woven carpets to decorate their palaces. Iranian carpets were so valuable and important during this era that every year different Iranian tribes sent 600 carpets to the Abbasid caliphs as taxes. This is a carpet belonging to the end of the 3rd century of the lunar calendar, which is kept in the San Francisco Museum of the United States, and it is the oldest knotted woven carpet in the Islamic world. This carpet was discovered in Old Cairo in 1365 AH. The style of the carpet's pattern is Iranian, and it is possible that it was woven in the northeast of Iran. After the era of the Arab caliphs' rule over Iran, several dynasties and local governments came to power in Iran. One of these governments was the Seljuk Turks, who came to Iran from Central Asia and ruled over different regions of Iran for 1.5 centuries. Residents of Tehran probably recognized the Seljuk dynasty with this monument left by the Seljuks. Togrul Tower in the city of Ray, which apart from a pigeon house, was actually a clock to show the movement of the sun in the sky. It is said that no trace of carpets has been found in Iran during the Seljuk era. But why? How is it possible that after centuries of carpet weaving, all the signs of the existence of carpets in the country suddenly disappeared in a historical era? A clear answer to this mystery has yet to be found. But another event is added to the complexity of this mystery. A small population of Buddhists live high in the plains of Tibet. Tibetan Buddhists worship in ancient temples. Tibet was occupied by China in the middle of the 20th century and is still considered a part of the People's Republic of China.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our congratulatory messages to our 12th and living Imam Al-Hujjah, Jalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, and to all of you as we gather on this beautiful evening to celebrate the greatest day in our entire calendar year, the celebration, the Eid of Ghadir. I do want to spend some time doing dhikr of this particular event. The Prophet begins to deliver a sermon. The Prophet was speaking, and then the Prophet says in a very beautiful way, أَلَسْتُ أَوْلَى بِكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Statement. Do I not have more authority over you than you do over yourselves? This is the command of Rasulullah, yeah? You know, when we want our Imam back, and inshallah Allah hastens his return, this is that level of authority the Imam will have over us, huh? that he will ask us, do I not have more authority over you? And we better be ready to say bala, but not like how some of these guys said bala. Yeah? But believe in that yes, O Imam, you do have more authority over us. Yeah, you tell me to do something, I don't have a right to question it. And so he asks the people, do I not have more authority over you than you do over yourselves? And the jawab was bala. Bala means of course. Yeah, when it's a question that is obvious, you don't say naam, you say bala. Yeah, he said, yes, of course you have more authority over us. This is when the fourth statement that we must be familiar with. When the Prophet raises his hands of Ali, and he says, after I have already said that I have more authority over you than you do over yourselves, فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَى فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَى. And this is what the Prophet says. This is a statement that we should all know. فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَى Fa'adha Aliyun Mawla. That whoever's Mawla I am, then Ali is also their Mawla. Yeah? And then we come with the fifth that we have to know. And this is the statement or the verse of completion. It comes in ayah, surah number 5, ayah number? Ahsantum. Ayah number 3. Now it's a long verse. I don't want you to memorize the whole verse. If you can, mashallah. But in the beginning of the verse, Allah talks about food. Yeah, it's interesting. And then right in the middle, Allah places this. Right? And then he ends it by talking about food again. And this is why many people think that completion is because of food, you know? It wasn't because of food. As though as much as food is a completion for many of us, yeah, it wasn't over that, you know? I think Ali is this diamond, yeah, that you have to search for this diamond. Yeah, you have to look for this diamond. You have to find this diamond. And this is what Allah does. Yeah, if Allah wanted, He says clearly, I could have made everyone believe. Then where is the value of that belief? Yeah, this is the same applies for us. That yes, we have grown up in a house of Shia. Yeah, but we have to re-find Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah, we have to re-find this wilaya. And so the verse is, and it's the verse that you all should know, we should know. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakumul islama dina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I have completed this, I have perfected kamal, akmaltu lakum din, I have perfected this religion for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have completed my favors upon you. Wa raditu lakumul islama Dina, and I am pleased to call this religion of Islam for you. These are five statements, five verses and hadith together that I urge you, inshallah, as the Shia of Ali, be familiar with it. And this defines for us or tells for us the story of what happened that day in a very quick version. Yeah, because the sermon of the Prophet alone was over 3 hours on that day. We just give the cliff notes of the version. Yeah, we just give the statements because we know our attention span is sometimes small. Yeah, but the Prophet made it very clear. And this is what I want to talk about to you. That the event of Ghadir is significant in many levels. Yeah, the event of Ghadir is significant for us in many ways. You know, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly emphasizes and makes it known that this religion has been completed and perfected. That He says, yeah, al-yawma akmaltu lakum, I have completed my favors upon you. I have perfected this religion for you. And so there is a responsibility that is associated with that. And you know, the primary responsibility that you and I have is to display extreme gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Extreme gratitude. My brothers and sisters, you know, like I can't imagine a life without Ali, can you? No. Can you imagine a life without Karbala? No. These are gifts God has given us. Gifts, yeah? Be grateful for them, yeah? Be grateful for them, right? Isn't we all know this famous hadith, and I'm paraphrasing, where a man comes to our sixth Imam, As-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And he complained to the Imam, because we all have mushkil, we all have problems. And he said, look, I'm going through poverty, I'm going through this problem, that problem. And the Imam listened to him. And the Imam says, you know, you're richer than you think. And he says, but I'm not. Yeah, like, seriously, I'm not. And the Imam alayhi salam says, what if I gave you X amount of dollars to leave our wilaya? Would you leave it? And he says, I wouldn't. He says, if a man would abandon this amount of money, how can that person ever claim to be poor? Yeah? We are rich with wilaya. Yeah? We have this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this blessing requires gratefulness. Yeah. So please, whenever you have this opportunity, go to sajda, say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this wilaya. That's the first responsibility. The second is, the event of Ghadir shows us and tells us the importance of imamat and wilayat in Islam. Yeah, that the religion of Islam was tied with a bow through the proclamation of the wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah? This is how important it is. Yeah? Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. And therefore it's important for us to constantly renew our allegiance to the Imam of our time. Because life without him is unsuccessful. It's unsuccessful. It doesn't matter how materially successful you and I become. But without the Imam's role in that life lacks value because it needs the Imam in that. Yeah, the belief in the Imam, the need of the Imam, the want of the Imam, the requirement of the Imam. This is what Ghadir teaches us, the importance of the position of imamat and wilayat. And so we need to renew our allegiance at all times. Number three, you know, the event of Ghadir shows us the path of success. Huh? You know, winners have been declared. Yeah, losers have been declared. Right? Now declared meaning what? It's been shown to us. Yeah? When the Prophet raised the hand of Ali, and after he's proclaimed him to be his Mawla, he said something, right? He says, Allahumma wali man wala, wa adi man ada. Oh Allah, be loyal to those who are loyal to Ali. Yeah? And be enemies to those who are enemies of Ali. Yani there are two sides, yeah? Two sides. Yeah? And so the partition has been shown to us, right? The areas have been shown to us. It's up to us to decide and ensure that that which we feel in our hearts is manifested in action. Yeah? And that is how we get on the side of Ali. We don't get on the side of Ali by merely proclaiming that we are Ali, that we are like Haydar. We have to live the life of Haydar. Yeah? We have to be like Ali. And so this is the third responsibility that we have. But you know, this event, it's kind of cool, right? Like this event also teaches us, you know, and I think this comes from the perspective of reflection. When you reflect on this event alone, there's no doubt that one of the outcomes that we get from it is in regards to the amazing personality of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yeah, the amazing personality of Ali. Because what does this event do, right? What does Ghadir do? Ghadir talks about the perfection of Islam. Ghadir talks about the completion of favors upon Muslims. Ghadir talks about the importance of wilaya. Ghadir shows us the path of success. All of these things are only possible when the person given the responsibility to carry them out has the ability to carry them out. Yeah? That Allah would not give that responsibility to just anyone because of the importance of that responsibility. Through that we understand the maqam of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala wa Ali Muhammad. This is who Ali was. Ali was Ali. Ali was Ali, man. There was not someone like him besides Rasulullah. There's no one like him besides Rasulullah. Yeah? Ali was Ali. Ali's faith was such that what does the Prophet say about him in Khandaq? Barazal iman kullu. Subhanallah. Yeah? That the one who has complete faith has come out today. The Prophet says that about Ali. Yeah, this is who Ali was. Ali had that level of kindness that when he would see orphans and widows, his heart would break. Yeah, Ali had that level of bravery where he volunteered to sleep. We know the merits of Ali. Yeah, but that is who Ali was. And the event of Ghadir teaches us the maqam of Ali from the perspective of God. That I consider Ali worthy to hold this position.
قد أتى وحي المحبة والسلام يشدو بلحم
ان الحب في روض الغرام بشرى لكل خلق في يوم غدير من كنت مولاه فما مولاه امين
يا مولاي علي يا مولاي علي يا مولاي علي يا مولاي
Everyone has a beloved and you dear friend But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Seven barometric pressure.
We come to you, and O God, knowing that thou art our only King.
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with Brother Yasser Ibrahim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners Welcome to another episode of Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with me Brother Yasser Ibrahim First and foremost we'd like to congratulate the Imam of the time Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman and to all the followers and those who have attached themselves to this day, that is the day of Ghadir, the day where we pray the dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'alana min al-mutamassikin bi wilayat amir al-mu'minin wa awladihi al-ma'asumin alayhim as-salam. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us of those who follow in the path of wilayah and in the path of amir al-mu'minin and in continuing to follow the command of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in following Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, who has designated divinely as the first representative after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first Imam after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another thing that is important to understand is that the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is not something that is easy for let alone the greatest of scholars to explain, to kind of open up, to dissect, to analyze. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is far beyond any of that. He is greater than what words can explain. And hence we see that it is this individual who in his own words is the best mufassir and explainer and commentator of the glorious Qur'an. Hopefully, inshallah, that by the blessing of this blessed day, we are those who become closer to both the Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first Imam, and the Noble Quran, inshallah, by the right of this Imam. And the book that we would like to mention speaks about both the personality of Ghadir, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the glorious Quran. So please stay tuned to our next segment where we will be introducing this book to our dear listeners, inshallah.
600 years after the birth of Jesus, the Almighty Creator entrusted the universe with whom He placed in the womb of Fatima, the daughter of Asad and wife of Abu Talib, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad. Fatima approached the Holy Kaaba to pray to God. Just then, the wall of the Kaaba cracked open, and she stepped in. After a few days, the long wait came to an end. Yes, he was born, the holder of the great secret, the noble begotten baby. He was raised by Prophet Muhammad, and was the first person to embrace Islam at the age of 10. His character and qualities differentiated him from people of all time. In the darkness of the night, he would carry sacks of food on his back to the houses of orphans and the poor. He loved people and took it upon himself to be of service to them. On the battlefield, he was matchless. His name was enough to make the strongest warriors of his age shudder. In the Battle of Khaybar, he lifted the gate of the fort in one strong jolt. The gate was so heavy that it would take 50 powerful men to lift it. This perfect man, raised by Prophet Muhammad, was called Ali, the Prophet's cousin. Prophet Muhammad had said, "If a person wants to gain Adam's knowledge, Noah's wisdom, Abraham's friendship with God, Moses' fervent prayers, Jesus' prayers and asceticism, Job's sufferings and patience, he should look at Ali. Ali is to me as Aaron was to Moses, except that there shall be no prophet after me." In his last pilgrimage to Mecca, Prophet Muhammad appointed Ali as his successor. Ali is an everlasting role model for all ages, because he is not specific to a particular nation or religion. He belongs to all of humanity.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. Again, our congratulations to all the mu'mineen and all the Shia and all those who have attached themselves to the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So as we mentioned in our previous segment, that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is not separate from the noble Quran or the glorious Quran. Hence the word of Amir al-Mu'mineen must be a reflection of what the noble Quran or the glorious Quran contains. And one of those places where we see that the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is collected is a book that is known as Nahj al-Balagha, that hopefully our listeners are well aware of. Nahj al-Balagha was a book that was compiled by Sayyid Radhi, and it was a compilation in which the sermons, the letters, and the short sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam were compiled and were given as a means to show the miraculous nature of the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Obviously, the glorious Quran is far greater than the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, but the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen reflect the greatness of the glorious Quran. Hence, the book that we would like to mention to our dear listeners and introduce to our dear listeners today on this day of Ghadir is titled The Quran as Reflected in Nahj al-Balagha. This book was it was a compilation of the lectures of Ayatollah al-Marhum Muhammad Taqi Misbah Yazdi, rahmatullah alayhi, who passed away not too long ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise his status, inshallah. A great individual, a great servant of Islam, a great defender of the teachings of Islam. There are two important books that this individual has also written. Maybe one day we will introduce them as well. One is the book that is known as Amuzish Aqaid, which would be translated as Theological Instructions in English. And the other one is Amuzish Falsafah, which is or has been translated as Philosophical Instructions. Both are textbooks that are still studied in the Islamic seminary today. This book was then translated by Brother Mansur Limba and published by the World Ahlul Bayt Assembly that is located in the holy city of Qom in the Islamic Republic of Iran. This book was published in the year 2010. So as we mentioned in this book, the author, that is the Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, tries to show that the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is just a reflection of the teachings and of the principles that are contained within the glorious Quran. And obviously there are certain subsections that are done, for example, the status of the Quran in religious society, understanding and interpreting the Quran, which is one of the main discussions in the Islamic world and in the academic world in a broader sense. The third chapter deals with the Quran and the cultural onslaught, that is what modernity or the West is doing towards the Islamic lands, and more so what, you know, is happening in that regard. So inshallah, in our next segment, we'll be introducing or rather reading a segment of this book for the benefit of our dear listeners. So please stay tuned.
Among the sacred texts we have received to help us understand where we came from and where we are going as a human race are most rich in helping us find our direction. They narrate stories of our past. But where have they brought us? Where are their messages now? Are we the people of belief, or have we become the people of the boxes? Is there wisdom trapped in our bookshelves? Bookshelves, bookshelves, bookshelves.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. With me, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. The book that we introduced to our dear listeners was titled The Quran as Reflected in Nahj al-Balagha, a book that was written or compiled by Ayatollah Marhum Misbah Yazdi, rahmatullah alayhi, and translated by Brother Mansur Limba. It was published in 2010 by the Ahlul Bayt World Assembly or Mazbah Jahani Ahlul Bayt. So we would like to read from page 75 of this book. It seems like a very appropriate discussion and a very appropriate topic. It says, different interpretations as a weapon in confronting the Quran. It should by now be clear that the said idea, which is expressed under the name of straight paths, the expression different understandings, readings, or interpretation of religions, or within the theoretical framework of the language of religion, or minimalist or maximalist religion, is no agenda but to oppose the religious beliefs of monotheist thought. Let them know that the wary Muslim scholars are smart enough to detect the illogical and irrational nature of their arguments and more than aware of the hidden agenda of the promoters of these groundless misgivings. Motives of the opponents of religious culture according to the Quran. Keeping in view our discussions, this question can be asked: what is the motive of the opponents of the Quran and religious culture behind these wicked acts? In reply, we shall first examine the view of the Quran and then explain the statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha in this regard. It can be inferred from the Quran that since the very beginning of revelation, Satan has tried his best by exploiting the weakness or the weaknesses of the jinn and humans to separate the people from the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to better understand the Quran and to better understand the Quran via the word of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Bookshelf with Brother Yasser Ibrahim on RIB English Radio.
Glorious Qadir, the greatest aid of Islam. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest felicitations to you on the occasion of a very auspicious day, which marks the perfection of faith, completion of divine favors, and continuation of God-oriented leadership for mankind. as proclaimed by the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. It is the blessed 18th of the month of Dhul-Hajjah when, in the year 10 AH, while returning to Medina from his farewell Hajj pilgrimage in Mecca, the seal of messengers, on the express commandment of the Lord Most High, halted at the Qadir or Pant in the place called Khum near Juhfa to formally proclaim to a huge gathering of 120,000 pilgrims his dearest cousin and son-in-law, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, as vicegerent. The Islamic Republic of Iran every year celebrates the days preceding and following this greatest aid of Islam as the 10 days of velayat, or divinely designated leadership, with festivities throughout the country. And today, the capital, Tehran, is holding a 10-kilometer-long fair for all groups, ranging from children to the elderly, based on virtue and ethics. Before we present you an exclusive program on this occasion, here is an ayah of the Noble Quran. And amongst them, we appointed imams to guide the people by our command, when they had been patient and had conviction in our signs. Of God Almighty, leave no one in doubt that in Islam, the true leader is divinely designated. In other words, he is not elected, selected, or nominated by fallible humans. Heavenly scriptures and historical facts are replete with events of the life of the prophets of the past. How God entrusted them the mission to guide human societies, and how He chose for them suitable vicegerents. Thus, in view of these undeniable facts, the 18th of Dhul-Hajjah is that high watermark in history that drew the permanent line between faith and heresy by deciding once and for all the vital issue of leadership of mankind after Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. It was as decisive an event as the Almighty's commandment at the dawn of human creation, to the angels to prostrate to the newly created Adam, who was to become God's vicegerent on earth. The words of the Noble Quran are crystal clear. The angels obeyed the divine command, but Iblis refused and was damned till eternity as Satan, the outcast, who ever since continues to deceive and destroy all devilish elements among the children of Adam and Eve. The pagans, the heathens, the polytheists and heretics, the atheists, the blasphemers of sanctities, and all disbelievers, including modern-day agnostics who deny their own heavenly created progenitors on the satanic illusion that mankind evolved itself from apes or worms, have resorted to dissent and discord against the divine right of leadership. One such devilish design was the gathering at Saqifa Bani Sa'idah in Medina. No sooner had the Almighty's last and greatest messengers departed from the mortal world, the illogical assumption was that the Prophet's political heir should be chosen by the people themselves. What an erroneous idea! It was an implicit denial of not just the position of the Prophet, who was an emissary of God, the Omnipresent, and not someone elected, selected, or nominated by the idolatrous Arabs, but also a denial of God's authority, similar to Lucifer's refusal to prostrate to Adam. Khalifa may have created the greatest discord in Islam by deceiving the naive and the simple-minded, but it was never able to negate from minds the significance of the historic event of Qadir. So clear and in broad daylight was that occurrence that all authoritative works of the different denominations of Muslims, irrespective of their sectarian or jurisprudential beliefs, have recorded it without the least dispute. About the central figure of the day of Qadir, that is Imam Ali, peace upon him, who was groomed by the Prophet from childhood. Although some have tried to misinterpret the meaning of the words and purpose of the proclamation. For the believers, however, Qadir is the firm foundation of faith. As the Noble Quran says in the opening ayahs of Surah Najm, the Prophet never speaks, but it is revelation revealed. Thus, whatever the Prophet did throughout his life was in accordance with God's commandment on 18th of Dhul-Hajjah, as is supported by revelation of ayah 67 of Surah Ma'idah, which reads, O Messenger, proclaim what has been revealed from your Lord. If you do not do it, then you have not discharged your mission, and Allah will protect you from the evil of people. As is clear, no prophet ever named his heir without divine commandment. Since the prophet is the emissary of God, his successor, whether a prophet or a wasi, that is, the vicegerent or testamentary legatee, should be appointed by God. That is the reason the Prophet of Islam had earlier spelt out the Hadith Thaqalain, saying in explicit words, I am leaving behind among you the two priceless things, the Book of Allah, the Noble Quran, and my progeny, the Ahlul Bayt. Hold fast to them, and you will never go astray. Thus, no revelation of the ayah 67 of Surah Ma'idah, the Prophet ordered halt to the pilgrim caravan, and after all 120,000 odd pilgrims had assembled in the Valley of Qom, by the spring or Qadir near Juhfa, he mounted the makeshift pulpit, and after a sermon that made the whole gathering acknowledge that he was superior to all of them, he lifted his dear cousin and son-in-law to declare those immortal words. Man kunto maula fahadha aliyun maula. This means, for whomever I am the authority, this Ali is his authority. Of the Prophet are clear, and any dissent or dispute regarding their meaning or the position of Imam Ali, peace upon him, is nothing but devilish tendencies. For the successor of the Prophet should also be as pure and pristine as the Prophet, since it is against the principle of divine justice to allow persons who had spent the greater part of their life in idol worship and all other unprincipled ways to be leaders of mankind. Qadir is therefore the greatest ever aid for the true believers, especially in view of Ayah 3 of Surah Ma'idah that was revealed after the Prophet's historic proclamation. Today I have perfected your faith for you, completed my favors upon you, and chosen Islam as your religion. The Prophet took oaths of allegiance to the Imam from the huge gathering, which had to stay 3 days at Qadir Khum to complete the formalities of Bay'at. He also instructed the Muslims to address Imam Ali, peace upon him, from now on as Amirul Mu'minin or Commander of the Faithful. This is what Imamat or divinely designated